Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Taz Dingo! Yes!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 82, for Thursday, June 26th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, The Spanish Announce Table, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School, and before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2 at gmail.com, or you could tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-net. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. Going 53 weeks strong, our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
I think you need to really learn what the word new means, because that seems to be a very loose definition word for you anymore.
Yeah, we've had a new site for like a year. So.
And the commercial for this show that plays on other shows says, I got a brand new podcast I'm working on. And what episode number is this again? Because I'm not sure if it's new.
82.
Yeah, it's not really new.
Hey, dude, I sent you a new commercial.
Yeah, and you got to give it to Spanish Announce Table, too.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Captain Asshole, I'm going to send you something if you're listening. Kepo Trek, we got Kepo Trek this week.
Sure.
And we've got Carp.
The summer of sports and heavy drinking continues.
Carp recently celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you, sir. 35.
Did I say happy birthday?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Sat on a wall. Happy.
35 years physically. My knees are at about 90. My liver's probably 100.
He's always getting on them knees, sucking.
My liver's probably about 137. And mentally, I'm about 12.
All right. Let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer is action-packed and not terrible. Why Steven Seagal will never be in The Expendables. Dwayne Johnson will take over G.I. Joe 3. Six Ways Batman 89 changed the world of comic book movies. Harrison Ford's Star Wars Episode 7 injury may require surgery. And five crazy things North Korea said in response to the interview trailer. Heavyset, what are we starting with this week?
I'm going to have to go with Kim Jong-un, North Korea, and the interview trailer.
And just so people have an idea what we're talking about, this is a movie action comedy with Seth Rogen and James Franco as they assassinate Kim Jong-un. We're going to play the trailer and then mention some of the stuff that the Koreans are saying.
You are entering into the most dangerous country on Earth. Kim Jong-un's people believe anything he tells them, including that he can speak to dolphins or he doesn't urinate and defecate.
Whoa. You tell me my man doesn't pee or poo?
Everybody pees and poos. Where would he go otherwise? He'd explode.
But he does talk to dolphins. You want to go kill Kim Jong-un?
Totally. I'd love to assassinate Kim Jong-un. It's a date.
This looks completely over the top, ridiculous, and with Seth Rogen's track record, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So these are the five things that Kim Jong-un said, or I guess North Koreans said in response to this movie, and you can check out all of the articles in our show notes, and most of my stuff's actually from Cineblend as well, so Cineblend, great site. That's where I get most of my contact. The five things that they were mentioning. First off, that British films are more realistic than American films. I totally agree with that. What do you guys think?
Oh, the Brits usually stick to more drama-ish stuff and don't really have your big over-the-top blockbusters. So I would guess yes. But your big over-the-top blockbusters seem to make more money. So.
James Bond is a character worth celebrating. I totally agree with this. I mean, 25 films or 26 films, legendary spy movie, British based, obviously. What do you guys think?
Definitely one of the most iconic characters in film's history. And, you know, we see so many different actors play him. So it kind of shows how great of a character James Bond is and just the different takes you can do with it.
One note, they mentioned Kim Jong-il, the second Kim Jong, was pissed off because Die Another Day used Korean as a bad guy. Three other things that he mentioned, Kennedy was killed by Americans. You know, most of the assassination, I guess, conspiracy theories agree with him on that. U.S. military may want to kill Barack Obama. Who knows on that one? And apparently they're still planning to watch the interview. Kim Jong-un wants to watch it. So at least, I guess, he's keeping an open mind for a North Korean insane dictator.
I will say this, that nothing says more realistic than Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
No, yeah, that's a good point.
True. I mean, I think we could all use a holy hand grenade once in a while.
Kim Jong-un especially loves hand grenades.
Now,
right?
I'm wondering when they bring it over, like, I don't know if he speaks English or not, but when they bring it over to North Korea,
yeah,
you think they're going to, like, change the words to whatever in North Korea, whatever in Korean, like, oh, yeah, Kim Jong-un is the best. Ha, 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 ha. Let's go shake his hand instead of, you know, assassinate him.
The movie is just to go shake his hand.
Something like that. I mean, who knows? Just to, you know, satisfy their almighty emperor. Who knows what the...
I hope this doesn't sound racist, but do they have movie theaters there?
I'm assuming, like,
can they afford it?
Like,
well, he does, right? It's probably,
but him.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a private screening or, like, very limited amount of people get to watch it, kind of.
Those who, like, go in and watch it and, like, laugh at the wrong parts are going to end up at the wrong end of a bullet.
This
guy's apparently a nutbag, so, like, even worse than
his mom. Yeah, I was about to say, his dad at least was, we know, it's a big movie buff, so I don't know if that's transferred on to him. Like, they were both movie buffs. They both, like, so... I'm really curious what his reaction is going to be, but odds are, like, even if, let's say he liked it for some odd reason, I think he would still say, I hate it. Because it's
There's no way they're going to say, I thought it was okay. Yeah. Rogan did a good job, you know. But we've seen weirder things. We had Dennis Rodman going in there, so who knows, man. This guy's pretty unpredictable. All right, let's move on. Our next article, very interesting article, me, of course, being a huge fan of Batman. This also comes from Cineblend, and this mentions six ways Batman 89 changed the world of comic book movies. I agree with most of the points. Let's list them quickly. We finally got a serious version of The Dark Knight. 100% agree. Before that, it was all campy 60s Batman. It opened the door for comic adaptations with a harsher subject matter. Agree, disagree?
Definitely. Before then, it was more, not tongue-in-cheek, it was definitely lighter fare, like Superman and stuff like that. So Batman really kind of changed the game for comic book movies.
Also, the comic book movie became a certified summer blockbuster. I'm not sure how Superman did in the 70s, but the 89 Batman earned $100 million in for the first 10 days. So it, really turned these comic book properties into big budget movies. Gave birth to the TV animated series tie-in, which is true, Batman series. I think they even use the same theme, if I remember correctly, which is kind of cool. Also, Michael Keaton's casting broke the mold for comic book heroes. I agree with this 100%, and then Kev will agree. There was an article which Stallone mentioned where pretty much Batman was the start of you don't have to be this super jacked action star where you can hide behind a costume. You could be a regular guy. And you could be an action star.
Yeah, but that only applies to certain characters. That doesn't apply to, like, for Chris Evans becoming Captain America, you had to be buff to be Captain America. Like, if Chris Evans was still his Johnny Storm build, he wouldn't have looked good like Captain America. So it applies to some actors, but some actors playing comic book roles, but not all of them, in my opinion.
But I think before that, it was more like your action stars were all the Stallones, the Schwarzeneggers, the Van Dams, where you had to be like this jacked, muscular guy. And
even then, back in the day, I mean, during those super guys, Seagal was making money, and he wasn't like super buff, and like he looked like a normal human being.
It's runs like a chicken.
Yeah, he runs a little weird. But he could also like block anything you throw at him and then break your bones and then stab you with those broken bones.
Yeah, but he goes through the cheap shots. He like tries to poke you in the eye and kick in the balls and shit like that. Like
that's okay, be honest. You're in a drunken bar fight. You're telling me you're going to do the splits like Van Damme and try some moves, or are you going to fight dirty?
No, I'm going Van Damme.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to see either of you try the splits in real life, so I'll give you $1,000.
You totally. I've done the splits. You've seen me do the splits at the camp up north.
Yeah, sure. Keep drinking, buddy.
And the last one, I completely agree. It brought real-life violence to comic book movies. This is the first one I remember that really got at that dark, you know, Tim Burton, dark world, fighting. I mean, that fight scenes with Joker is bloody and they're getting into it. So I don't remember anything previously in terms of comic book properties that did that.
What other comic book properties were there just prior to this? That's what I can't remember, like, anything major except for the Superman.
The Superman,
I
mean, right?
I think the biggest one before this was Superman, and then I know there was, like, everything else is kind of like how Spider-Man and Captain America was. Like, there were movies, but they seemed to be, like, at least at this time of the day, they're like bombs. Like, we don't recognize them.
Yeah, I know that. The Captain America back from 89, 92 or something, it was super campy. I remember the Punisher movie, though, with Dolph Lundgren being super violent.
All right, next story. The new ninja. The new ninja. I can't say ninja. The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles action. The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer is action-packed and not terrible. Let's play it and discuss.
Surveillance is showing heavy Foot Clan activity.
They're taking hostages.
Let's rock and roll.
Talking about
like shadows in the night,
you
don't believe the unseen.
What's that? It's a camera.
He made a camera.
Oh, look, he's doing his Batman voice.
Back off, Ram.
Do not say a word about this to anyone. If you do, we will find you.
Yeah,
we'll find you.
I'm sorry, that came across super creepy, okay? That's we will find you though.
My son. I have trained you your whole lives to protect the city above. But I fear you are not ready for its greatest threat.
We're taking your armor to the next level.
Shred it.
You must stop, Shredder. Together, you are stronger than he can ever be. Let's go save my brothers.
Come on!
Fourth move when fighting Robot Samma. Why not?
So they're boys.
No, that's stupid. They're turtles.
Is there anything else we should know about them?
They're ninjas.
I like that they've kind of played on the fact that people were giving shit to Michael Bay, saying, you know, there's rumors saying they're aliens and they're crapping on it. So kind of cool he mentioned that at the end for the fanboys, I guess. This is starring Megan Fox as April O'Neil, William Fichtner. Johnny Knoxville. Is Knoxville like Michelangelo?
Maybe voicing it, but
I know Tony Shalhoub is. He sounds like Splinter in the trailer.
Tony Shalhoub is Splinter.
That is a mistake. And Will Arnett
has a small part from what we can see.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg in it. A couple things, my quick thoughts. Megan Fox is April O'Neil. No thank you. Tony Shalhoub is Splinter. No thank you. The turtles look kind of weird, but it kind of makes sense, you know, if they're mutants. They're CGI, obviously, but I guess it's the best they can do because you don't want to make them with the costumes like in the 80s and 90s. So I guess they did the best they could with it. I'm going to keep an open mind. It doesn't look as bad as I thought it would be, but I'm not expecting a lot. Let's throw it to Heavy first.
I've been really looking forward to this one. I don't have high hopes for it. So that's what I'm waiting to see from, like, what the movie actually delivers. Shredder looks interesting. I know they're giving him a different backstory. And one thing that it's kind of something that Nickelodeon threw together before they started the new series. They created a DVD, and it's the Cartoon Turtles from the 90s meets the cartoon, or the late 80s, early 90s, meets the Cartoon Turtles from the 2000s. And it's basically, they kind of make a story to make it sound like every Turtles that you've seen, they're all in different parallel universes. That's why the movies, the original sets of movies, didn't really match up with the cartoon, and none of it matched up with the comic books and all this other stuff. And that's kind of the approach I'm taking to this movie, and what is its version? I think the whole thing with Shredder is another great example. But before I close up, I got a question that I posed on Facebook, and it was interesting to get this response, and it's really simple. Who do you prefer as a villain, Shredder or Darth Vader?
Shredder.
Yeah, I'm a Star Wars geek. I got to say Vader.
Kev?
Vader's more iconic. You got to go with Vader.
I guess he is. You know what? But I just never got into Star Wars. I remember watching all the films, but I'm more of a Trekkie than a Star Wars guy. So because of that, out of spite, I have to pick Shredder.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, but I grew up on the Turtles. So that was what Star Wars was for anybody who's much older than me. To me, just everything Shredder. I got a Shredder costume hoodie. I like the scene where he comes out in the original Turtles movie, to me, is like ultimate badass, where it's like the music that plays, the shot of where you can see a lot of his shadow, and he has a speech, and he talks about, you know, finding these creatures, these turtles, but that's what I love about him. And it's nothing against Vader, but it's just Shredder. I mean, even when you look at Shredder, he's kind of a ripoff of Vader, and I understand that. And that's always why I just posed that question. I got a lot more Shredders than I thought I would have gotten.
Yeah, it is pretty surprising. Kebo Trek, quick thoughts on the trailer.
Like you said, it doesn't look as bad as everyone was expecting. I'm personally not a fan of the Shredder look. I find they have to be careful because it's bordering on being like too silly to look. I know what they were trying to go for, but I think it might be a bit too much for me. But other than that, I know William Fichtner's not Asian, but is it Fichtner?
Fitcher, I think. He's always been a great character
actor. Oh, he's a fantastic actor. So
you just cream all over the guy because of Prison Break.
He's a fantastic actor. No, and
it's not just because of Prison Break.
Well, no, that's for Kebo Trek. Kebo, maybe, that's but not thing. For
me. He was in, what do you call it? He was in that show.
Dark Knight for 3 minutes.
No, he's in that, there was a show on NBC in the 90s. Anyway, but no, he's a fantastic actor, so I'm really curious to see what he's going to do with Shredder, and if he makes it over the top, or like I think he'll do, he'll bring the right amount of subtlety into the character.
Carb, quick thoughts.
Yeah, with all the things that Michael Bay's been doing to my childhood, I'm going to keep my expectations low. He's still going to get my money, as he has for all three Transformers, the Transformers coming out this week, and Ninja Turtles. He did redeem himself a little bit with Pain and Gain, so I got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I did find a nice little joke on Film Drunk. Considering the Ninja Turtles debuted in the 80s, they should all be in their 40s and 50s by now. That's the movie I want to see. The middle-aged mutant Ninja Turtles. Raphael is a bitter accountant. Michelangelo has heart disease from all the pizza. Donatello's sheath is now a holster for a cell phone that he uses to make real estate deals. So, yeah, I'm going to see this the Friday night it comes out.
That's cool. It. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. Twenty-two Jump Street, Carp, go.
Yes, super funny along the lines of the first one, but they were like making fun of the fact that they knew they were a sequel. Like they move across the street from 21 Jump Street to 22 Jump Street. There's a joke about a 23 Jump Street being built. It's like Ice Cube's character is like, oh yeah, well we got like double, triple the money now, so let's just burn through that shit. Ice Cube was the highlight of this movie for me at some points. For what happens. I'm not going to spoil it because it's still way too early that's been out. the chemistry between Jonah Hill, Channing Tatum, Ice Cube is freaking phenomenal. If you like a good comedy, I highly suggest you go see this. For me, it's 22 out of 27 Jump Streets.
Awesome. Heavy Sets, get your thoughts.
It's kind of echoing everything that Carb said. The fact that it's not even just that they make fun of themselves. There's elements of the movie that it's when they're talking about, they're like, oh yeah, it's exactly like last time. It's exactly like last. And they kind of like stress on that, but there are some new things and they do everything. They have the ending credits montage is fucking hilarious. All I'll say is it, to me, it basically says there won't be another one. There won't be a 23 Jump Street or a 24 Jump Street. And I think that's what I like about it. The first movie was hilarious. I thought it was one of the funniest movies of that year. And I was wondering how well this was going to do. And it took the same elements, same ideas, the way that it made that one so funny. And they made it, took it and just put it in new directions. When something that happens with Ice Cube, there's a moment where Channing Tatum's character is processing this whole thing and it finally connects to him. And I think like there's that part right there. That's one of my favorite parts of the movie. So if I'm going to rate it, I'm actually going to rate it about 4.5 out of 5 stars. That's about a 9.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys. Yeah, it's definitely something on my radar that I want to check out myself. Let's get into the weekend box office. Break it down. Kevbo Trek, let's break down the numbers for this week.
Coming in first place with a little over 29 million is Think Like a Man 2. We're on a budget of 24 million. So we'll throw this one to the panel quickly. Anyone surprised with this?
Nope, Kevin Hart is a huge draw right now.
Coming in at second place, down about 52%, is 22 Jump Street, adding about 27.5 million, giving it a total of 110 on a $50 million budget. So obviously Sony's going to be happy there. Coming in third is How to Train Your Dragon 2, adding 24.7.
No, there's no fucking I in dragon.
There isn't my dragon.
Yeah, but you're watching Game of Thrones boobs with a chance to dragons.
That's true.
Dragon.
The boobs distract me.
You also know who was in that sequel, right?
No.
Jay Baruchel.
Fucking Jonah Hill.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So imagine, what a fucking sellout. He's in two sequels in the same week.
Hey, so was Jon Snow was in it.
Jon Snow.
So yeah, it's at about $95 million on a budget of $145. So I think we might see a small profit on the home market. Coming in fourth place is Jersey Boys, something I really want to see, adding $13.3 million on a $40 budget. Fifth place is Maleficent, adding just under $13 million, giving it a very robust $186. How to do on the foreign market? Oh, geez, it's made $335 on the foreign. So they'll be very happy with that. And we probably will see a sequel. Coming in sixth place is Edge of Tomorrow with just under $10 million, giving it a fairly disappointing $74 million on a budget of $178.
Going back to what you're saying about Maleficent, I haven't seen it, but I'm wondering, is there a way for them to make a sequel? One thing that I keep hearing that Disney seems to be doing, and they're already starting to line these up, and I don't think we've talked about them, is Disney is going to be producing live action versions of movies. And I think that, I mean, of animated classic. I mean, of course they've come out live action movies, but taking some of the old classic animated movies and having them live action. I know they're already, I think Cinderella's the first one to come out. I've seen a poster for that one already. And there's, I think, talks of at least Beauty and the Beast and maybe some other one. I think that could be their next route of taking all these classics and then either putting a different spin on them, like they do with Maleficent, or do like, okay, you've seen it in a cartoon, now let's see it again, but in live action with people you know.
Number 7 is The Fault in Our Stars with $8.5 million. Given it just under $99 million. Okay, I don't know much about this movie. Oh, okay, forget it. We don't need to talk about it. Coming in
now. You're going to see Jersey Boys. You're not going to see something that made a shit ton more money.
Hey, Jersey
based
Boys.
On a great selling novel.
Jersey Boys is awesome. I don't want to watch a chick flick.
Well, you're going because you have a vagina to go see Jersey Boys.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but I want at least my vagina will enjoy it.
Oh, okay. So you're gonna finger yourself to Frankie Valiant or whatever his name is?
I just might. You never know.
Okay, just checking.
Coming in eighth place, adding another $6 million, is X-Men Days of Future Past, giving it just under $7 million on a total worldwide market and $217 million on a domestic. Coming in at ninth place is Godzilla, adding a little under $2 million, giving it $195 million domestic. And rounding out the top 10 is Chef, adding $1.7 million, giving it just under $17 million.
Thank you very much, Kebbo Track. New movies coming out this week. Speaking of ruining our childhood, Michael Bay has a new Transformers movie out. Let's play the trailer and get our thoughts.
This is the greatest advance in modern physics since the splitting of the atom.
A rare metal, molecularly unstable.
It's what they're made of.
Bring it up! All the way!
You guys have never seen a truck like this before.
Dad, you can't keep spending money on junk.
I don't think it's a truck at all. I think we just found a Transformer. Dad!
I'm gonna ask you this once. Where is Optimus Prime?
After all we have done, humans are hunting us. But I fear we are all targets now.
What is that?
Who sent you here? This is not war. It's human extinction.
Oh my God! Double
D! How many more of my kind must be sacrificed?
Gotta have faith, Prime. Maybe not in who we are, but who we can be.
I'm not leaving my dad.
We need a new army.
Transformers Age of Extinction. They're going to keep making these movies if they're going to keep making money off them. I don't see a motivation for me to see it. Never been huge into the Transformers. Had the curious factor for the first couple of ones. This is minus Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf. Mark Wahlberg's in it, though. What do you guys think? Let's start with Heavy.
I think the fact that it's no Shia LaBeouf or Megan Fox gives me all the reason to go see it. And that's one reason why I will go see it, to see what it is without them. The next step is hopefully the next one won't have Michael Bay. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, hopefully. Kebbo Trek, your thoughts.
If there's no Shia LaBeouf, there's no me.
We all know Kebbo Trek's a huge fan of Shia LaBeouf and actually said that he should be casted for the Back to the Future remake as well.
Definitely.
Carp, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to go see Michael Bay ruin more of my childhood. But I'm looking forward to hearing Mark Wahlberg being like, "Hey there, Mr. Transformer. Hey, so you want to go save the world, Mr. Transformer? Because we're going to go save the world, Mr. Transformer."
What is he, a 27-year-old boy?
What is he, a chimney sweep?
It's a joke I heard where they were like, imagine that Mark Wahlberg was in Prometheus with like the Space Snake. It's like, "Oh, hey there, Mr. Space Snake. Oh, why you break my arm there, Mr. Space Snake? Why you going in my space, Mr. Space Snake?" So I can see him talking like that to Optimus. Being like, "Oh, we should go save my family, Mr. Space Snake, Mr. Transformer guy." But there's another one coming out limited release that looks pretty good called Snowpiercer, which I'd like to see personally. But
what's
is that the train one?
Yeah, it's the train one.
Oh, that's such a good, great concept.
Yeah, basically global meltdown ice age, and this train called the Snowpiercer runs on perpetual motion train, and it runs around the world, and it's kind of like there's segregation on the train where the poor are in the back, the rich are in the front, and the poor are tired of being poor, so they want to, like, kill everyone in the front and take over. Based on a best-selling comic book, and it's done really good overseas.
All right, cool. Also, check out 300 Rise of an Empire and Winter's... Actually, no, Winter's Tale sucks. 300 Rise of an Empire on DVD.
What about the one Kembo is definitely going to buy on Blu-ray? A Hard Day's Night, the Criterion Collection.
Yeah.
Oh, and Star Trek Next Gen, Season 6.
Awesome. So, let's close the show. Get your plugs and final thoughts. Heavy set.
There's this website. There's a brand new website that I'm a part of called www.kfabesports.com. Or kfabesports.com. Brand new. I've never talked about it on this show ever. Ever.
Brand new. Brand ever. New. Carp, StableWars.com. What's going
StableWars.com
on
StableWars.com this week.
Are you still looking for new members?
We are always looking for new members.
Brand new. StableWars.com.
This week we are looking at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. We are starting new seasons of TNA and WWE Stable Wars. If you play those games, you can win DVDs. So if you're looking for a mid-time fantasy football, because football doesn't exist, StableWars.com is wrestling fantasy football.
Kembo Trek, final thoughts.
Resident Evil. My mic is muted.
Hey.
My mic is
muted. Hey. Yeah, I got nothing.
The build-up.
The build-up.
For a second, that sounded like an old dial-up modem.
So for Kev, Bo, Trek, Heavyset, and Carp, this is Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
I'm going to tell you a story. At first, it's going to sound ridiculous. But the longer I talk...
We have to find the keys.
The more rational it's going to appear.
I can't believe you found coffee.
Sugar, right?
Yeah.
Hold on. Three.
How many times have we been here? How many times?
For me, it's been an eternity.
It's fine.